Hey, it's your host, Abigail Pumphrey, and I'm on a personal mission to help more small business owners become financially free. I like to nerd out on all things business, marketing, and most definitely the numbers. I'm talking all the lessons learned as I turned a layoff into a seven-figure online business. I like to share it all and no conversation is off the table. We talk actionable strategies, biz challenges, and all the things life throws your way. Grief, anxiety, loss, and resilience are all topics you'll find here. So grab a cup of coffee and settle in because you're listening to the Strategy Hour podcast, brought to you by Boss Project. Have you ever absolutely panicked after you accidentally deleted a file on your computer? I know I have. It's not an issue if you've got CrashPlan Smart Recovery. Your files are just a few clicks away and can be restored in a snap. CrashPlan provides the best cloud backup solutions in the market. Visit CrashPlan.com/BossProject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. Now you can protect all your work with an unlimited backup and recovery solution. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data. And with unlimited version retention, CrashPlan can be your ultimate rewind button. Get unlimited computer backup for you or your business with CrashPlan Professional. CrashPlan backs up files that live on your computer and works with PC, Mac, and Linux. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/BossProject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/BossProject for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
So I'm going to guess that I'm not the only one who had this dream for the last, I don't know, couple decades. I watched the Oprah show every single day. At least every single day that I remember that she was on the air and I was old enough to be watching, because I'm sure there was some inappropriate things that happened earlier on in my childhood that maybe my mom didn't allow me to. But as soon as I was old enough to handle the content, I remember sitting there day after day and soaking in everything she had to say. But what I didn't realize is that in all her years of her show, she focused so much on everyone else's story that like you rarely heard about Oprah's personal life. And she protected her personal life for a lot of reasons. But I had this opportunity to spend some time with Oprah last weekend, which sounds like a weird thing to say out loud. And she shared some really interesting things that I think can give you guys some insight, both on your personal life and in your business. And Emily hasn't heard too much about the trip, so I'm going to walk her through an exercise that, you know, the Oprah did with us and see how it resonates with her, because I thought it gave me a new perspective on some things that I thought I had a fairly good handle on and are probably topics that you're used to hearing about when it comes to running your business. So to kick us off, I'm curious, Emily, if you were to think about your why, like why you do the things you do in your life and in your business. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you have a clear handle on what that looks like for you?
Yes and no. So I feel like the first answer to this question is yes, but it's always been like a variety of things. Like it's kind of shifted between, I like the freedom and flexibility of being at home. I love being my own boss. I love getting to, you know, not have to really answer to anyone and get to try new things on for size. And I love the aspects of the type of person that I get to be while I'm running this business. Then the other part of me is I've never really been someone who resonates really well with feeling like I have to have a very clear why behind what I'm doing. I just like doing things. And if it makes me feel good, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this conversation has come up a little bit. I don't know if I'm going completely off topic here, but we're both in Jessica Ely's prep work group, her community. Mm-hmm. And I didn't watch the video or the live that she did about it, but I know that she addressed, you know, do you have a why? What's your why? Why do you do this business or whatever? And the reason why it was brought up is because a lot of Jess's students who aren't necessarily like us in business brought up the fact that like, listen, I may not have a why and I don't care. Like, I don't need to know why I'm doing this business or why I want to do this business in order to keep doing it. And so I don't necessarily know if that's also where my headspace is, but it was a really refreshing version of this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, the lens that she gave us, I felt like brought this entirely new perspective around creating a why, but also around goals and visioning and all of these words that we're so used to saying over and over and over again, specifically like kind of starting at the top. Now, all of this was in the frame of wellness, but I fully believe you could take any of these concepts and blow them out to any topic. But she talked a lot first about focus. And I think focus at the end of the day is really just a different word for goals. But if you put the word focus in there, I think it switches something in your brain to make it not feel so undoable, or perhaps shows your commitment level or your intentionality to like pursue it in a bigger way.
And I also feel like it alleviates the like, I'm racing to get to this thing so then it can be done. When in reality, like a lot of our goals are ongoing focus, right? That we need to be putting somewhere and not something we can check off and then ignore.
Yeah. So she mentioned a lot about looking at where you are now and where you want to be, which is basically exactly what you do when you're setting goals, but assessing how you are in balance with like what it takes to get there. And I think so often we think about what we want to do or what we want to achieve, but we don't necessarily know if how we're going to get there is doable or not. And I thought, I don't necessarily love the word balance at all, but I feel like it gives you an opportunity to say, if this were my focus instead of a goal, do I even have the right mixture of what's going on in my life to allow that to be my focus in the way that I want it to be? And if not, then do I have the wrong focus? Mm-hmm. And I thought that was kind of eye-opening. But the one that I think hit me the hardest was when she basically blew apart everything I ever thought about why. And we've talked a lot about the why behind your why and like digging deeper and all the things. But for so many years, I've felt this innate desire to connect my why to who I was doing this for, or like who I wanted to support in the process. And I could never make it about me. Not that I think it has to be about you, but I felt disconnected from it, even though I had said for so long that I was doing this so I could support blah, 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 right? And so she talked a lot about intention, and your intention sets the mood for everything you do. And it also gives you clear direction. It plays a role in your focus, obviously, but it also helps you realize your goals, because if you have a set intention about how you want to show up in the world, then a lot of things can happen. Now, I felt a little bit overwhelmed with how do I set my intention? That sounds a little freaky. But she took us through this exercise. I think it'll help you, Emily, maybe think, be more open to the idea that, oh, maybe I could do this. But so I will tell you this quote, because I thought it said a lot. An intention is the first whisper of purpose you bring to what you do or what you say. It is the real motivation behind any action, the why behind the why, and the energy driving that motivation is what determines every outcome. So it's like what we've said for years, but in much sweeter, nicer words that maybe I've never been so eloquent to say myself. So to get there, I thought this was a really cool exercise, and this is why I specifically wanted to do this podcast, because I think that this could be really revealing to so many of you. So, Emily, keep in mind you're going to have to say the answers to these questions out loud. So, like, keep that in mind when you're going through this. But The first thing we're going to do, and I suggest you guys take out a sheet of paper and do this along with us. Think of a time when you set a goal and you didn't reach it. It could be in any area of your life, career, health, relationships, or something else. So a time you didn't reach your goal. What was the goal? I'll give you a couple seconds to think about what that goal was. But
yeah, I know mine. You want me to share it now?
Yeah. What was your goal?
I wanted to have $1 million business before I hit 30.
Okay. So your goal was to hit $1 million before you hit 30. Now, this is the revealing part. Well, it gets even more revealing. It's a step-by-step process, you guys. Okay. So I want you to list any real reasons you can think of. Why did you want to achieve this goal?
I'll just kind of brain dump so you guys don't have to wait for me to write some. Literally just to say that I could. Mm-hmm. Clout, pride, excitement. I felt like being a part of I don't feel like there's a lot of people who've done that. And so mm-hmm. I think that that's really cool. It's a neat club to be a part of. Mm-hmm. I think that when I had the goal, some of my ideas of what it could do for our life and business were maybe not true, but they were in my head then. Mm-hmm. So I think opportunities and pride.
Sure. So interestingly enough, when I went through this exercise, I had a very similar, not quite the same thing, but it was about money and it was about our business. And when I sat down to say why I wanted to achieve this goal, I said it would give me less stress. It felt like the definition of success for me. I felt this need for money and security. I didn't mm-hmm. want to fail. And I feel like I'm living a lie if I'm not showing that I'm prosperous and abundant and that I know how to do all the things in business. And if I wanted to achieve this goal and I didn't, then am I really a positive example? And so those were what came up for me. But your intentions for the goal are the sum of everything you just wrote down. Were those things you just said in alignment with the truth of who you are? Okay. So thinking about everything you just wrote down of why you wanted to achieve this goal, we're going to go through a checklist and I want you to think about those intentions. And obviously you can't check these actual statements because they're not in front of you, but like in your head, or you can write down the phrase and check next to it that this is true for you. Think about those intentions. Check all the statements below that describe them. This is a private moment, so try to be fully honest with yourself. And I'm going to make Emily be fully honest with the entire podcast. So was this – I'm not going to put words in front of it. I'm just going to read the phrase so I don't like confuse the rest of you. I wanted to prove I was good enough.
Yes.
Yes. I was trying to prove something to someone.
Yes.
I wanted to win.
Yes, always.
I was trying to control a situation.
Yes.
I was trying to control another person.
Yes.
I wanted to be better than someone else.
Yes.
I was trying to live up to someone else's expectations.
Yes.
I was trying to make someone like me.
Probably.
I felt obligated.
Yes.
I felt guilty.
For not doing it or for having that goal?
I don't know. If it doesn't resonate with you, it doesn't resonate with you. I felt I was supposed to want it.
Yes.
I was afraid of what would happen.
If it happened or didn't happen.
I think either way. That's fine if that's not you.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't think I had a choice.
Probably.
Okay. So now, if you said yes to these things, these intentions are examples of when the why of your goal doesn't match up with the truth of who you are. Ugh, talk about like stabbed to the heart. Okay, so when I did this exercise, keep in mind, this is a goal you did not achieve. You wrote down the reasons why you wanted to do it. And then you've just reflected on, were those reasons, was your why in alignment with who you are? And if you said yes to these things, you've put a lot of weight on all these outside things. And if it's not fully in alignment, you're probably going to push it away. You're going to, not that you're going to fail, but like, well, I'll just read what Oprah said because she's going to be a little more clear than I am. When our intentions are not clear, they stand in the way of reaching our goals. As you think about bringing more wellness into your life or literally anything, mm-hmm. start with an intention that lines up with what is truly right for you. So then I was like, oh, so maybe my why has nothing to do with any other person on the planet. That's scary and something I hadn't thought about before. Okay, so now we're going to name our intention. Now, in this exercise, we did this specifically around wellness, but I think you could do this for your business. I think you could do this for your life or your career. The topic is less important than the exercise itself. So close your eyes and be still with yourself. I want you to like clear your mind for at least, for the guys at home, at least 60 seconds. For Emily, you get a 5-second pause because this is this is how we
do it. You guys don't want to sit in silence for a minute.
No. And then I want you to answer this question. What is your intention for your mind, body, and spirit?
Well, what I immediately started thinking about when you were saying make sure the intention lines up is my word of the year for the past 2 years, what I feel like they have in common. And so when I feel like we've talked about setting our intentions for work and for life, I've come back to ease, simplicity, wanting to bring back fun into business again. So I think it invokes that. I don't know if there's one word necessarily for that, but what I've tried to rework my headspace is around more of trusting my gut and going towards literally what feels fun, what feels easy, and going to help me like do cool things in life and business.
Yeah. And I think this isn't one word. Like it's not, you're not trying to come up with a phrase, but it's just like, it's hard to embody all the things you're feeling, but if you could put those things into words, the goal is to understand what are you truly seeking? Regardless of like, cause this is not your goal or your focus right now.
Right.
Okay. This is truly just your intention. This is where you want your life to be, especially when you're talking about your whole self, like not just my intention with my children is to.
Right.
It's your intention with your mind, body, and spirit.
Literally imagine like someone, and this is super cheesy, but like the feeling you get when you're just literally just kind of free flowing your arms and your legs and you just feel like easy breezy, like that's what I want to feel in life and business and everything.
Yeah. So I took some time to reflect on this and it was very clear to me very quickly that my intention had nothing to do with money or financial goals. It had nothing to do with impact, even though helping others has always been a priority for me in every aspect of my life. More than anything else, my intention is to be free. No longer held back by my body's limitations, saying goodbye to all my limiting beliefs. My path or direction is already laid before me. I'm meant to lean into my power, free from judgment, mine being the most critical. And to me, like that was like such a breakthrough for me because not that I have been self-seeking, but like so many of my goals and so many of the things I've gone after have really felt impact focused or financial focused. And that I was like trying to reach this level. And once I got there, that I would feel a certain way. And I'll tell you,
how many times do we have to prove to ourselves that that's not true?
I'll tell you, that's not how that works, guys.
You have this own freaking business. We have been proven that more than once. And yet sometimes we still are like, wouldn't it be cool if...
And it doesn't mean you can't have aspirations. I don't think it takes away that you can't do big things because clearly like Oprah put a career together just going after big crazy things.
Right.
But it just feels like she was walking more in alignment and that's why things started falling into place. Like she wasn't trying to be anyone else or anything else to whatever. I think that's why you see her going against the grain in so many aspects of her life. Like, she basically has refused to be married because she mm-hmm. didn't want that. She hasn't had children. Like, she's just like gone about life against the grain. But I think it was because it was in alignment with who she is and mm-hmm. being okay with that being different from other people. Yeah. And I'll tell you, a lot of my life, my only goal has been to be the same or better than. It has mm-hmm. not been to be myself.
Yeah.
Right? When you think about having a $1 million business before you're 30, what are you trying to prove? I mean,
that I can do it.
Sure. But like, if the goal, for instance, like I know one of the things was to have just like the freedom and flexibility to like go about your life a little bit different. I think we've both come to realize in the last couple of years, it really doesn't matter how much money we're making. If we want our life to be different, we just have to communicate that and then do it. Yeah. And like, if we want to work less, we work less. If we want to leave town, we leave town. If we want whatever, like, yeah. it doesn't mean, I feel like I'm on a game of Mario trying to like hit some level, you know, like right. we're not trying to level up here. We're just trying to fully breathe into who we are. And so here's where you test if this intention is true. If you were to like really boil that down, and I know for Emily, I feel like at least from the outside looking in, you seem to have more of a connection to how it makes you feel rather than necessarily the words that how to describe it. However, regardless of how it comes up for you, if you can like journal it out, write it out, or if you're just like this and it, you could never describe it to someone else. Mm-hmm. I don't think that really matters, but does that intention bring you more meaning and fulfillment?
Yeah, for sure.
And if it doesn't, then like you probably need to go back and like work on the intention. Mm-hmm. My guess is if you said no just now, you probably were writing down or saying things, or you were trying to fit what you think you're supposed to have your intention mm-hmm. be. So my guess is like you need to like back up and say, okay, I don't care what anyone else thinks, for this is just for me. Like, you don't have to share this with anyone. You don't have to like plaster it all over your social media. What's your intention? And if it does bring more meaning and fulfillment, then like, what would life look like if instead of constantly trying to achieve these miraculous goals and go about life with so much, I don't know, I feel like drive is the wrong word, because you can have an intention to do big things, but if instead we looked at it through the lens of instead of goals and a why, that it was focus and intention, I feel like you would do things a bit differently.
Yeah.
Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire because I'm busy enough already. When we've hired in the past, the process was full of unqualified applicants. With Indeed, we can target the right candidates for the right position.
Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Money issues are a common stressor in any relationship. Monarch Money is the top-rated personal finance app that can get you and your partner on the same page without any extra cost. Monarch has built-in collaboration features, so together you can see your finances, budget, and get insights on your cash flow. It's the easiest way to manage any household finances. I've tried other finance apps in the past, and they didn't work the way I wanted them to. I don't want to stress over finances. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all of your tags and categories. Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to get set up, customize, and use. Monarch prioritizes my privacy, and they'll never sell my data to third parties. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. That's monarchmoney.com/strategy for your extended 30-day free trial. But like, it's only eye-opening if you have the ability to put it into action. And one of the things that she really hounded into us, I don't like that word, but like she talked a lot about commitment. And the way she described it, I couldn't have agreed more. And it's definitely, for the first time, maybe words I've actually already said out loud. And she said, commitment isn't just trying, it's deciding. And so like when I've talked about my own health journey in 2019, a lot of what I have talked about is I'm not going to try to lose weight. I'm deciding to not give up on myself. And so commitment is a decision. And you can put this intention or lens and develop new things that you want to do. So she utilized this to help create new healthy habits. And I think that maybe that's a solid place to start, because if you try to do this too quickly in business, I feel like you're trying to make it work for things that, not that it can't work for that, but my guess is that you've been out of alignment with your intention for so long that perhaps instead of trying to do something that moves a business forward, that you do something that's a bit more self-serving and actually refuels you first and like puts the emphasis back on taking care of yourself. And so if you were to do this next exercise, my suggestion is that the focuses that you bring up or the things you intend to do should be self-serving because you deserve it. Anyway, okay. So Emily, I want you, now I can't quite go through the exact same process because we basically took this big long quiz to figure out where we were not showing up fully in both mind, body, and spirit to try to figure out where we needed to put some focus and time and attention. So I get that you didn't have that experience, but I still think you can come up with some healthy habits. So the first thing you want to do is figure out what your focus is. This isn't super specific. So in contrast to a goal that's like SMART and has all these things that are measurable and blah, 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 this is a lot more ethereal, a lot more like lean into it. So for example, one of my takeaway focuses was mindfulness. So I'd be curious, Emily, what is a focus that you want to have in your life that you can create a healthy habit around?
So you said mindfulness. Mm-hmm. I wish I had like a thesaurus in front of me so I could read through some words, but I don't know why I keep going back to ease and simplicity. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of my life, I grew up thinking that like so many things are complicated. And mm-hmm. I was a natural overthinker, overanalyzer, mm-hmm. and, you know, on anxiety medication for it at many points in my life. Mm-hmm. And I've learned as I've gotten older in a lot of places to tamper that and to trust more in myself and in my gut and in my intuition that things are going to be fine. And I feel like the feeling that I have, the first area that I was able to really see a huge shift in that way of thinking was when I became a parent, which is mm-hmm. usually the opposite experience for a lot of people. My anxiety decreased immensely when I became a parent. My confidence increased. I don't know what shift in the universe happened, but amazing things did. And that feeling when it comes to parenting of I'm going to make the easiest and simplest decision possible because I know it's the best one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go into this, you know, behavior correction or this conversation or this setting a routine with the goal every time being keep it simple, keep it simple, keep it simple. And how that has made me feel as a parent has been amazing. Mm-hmm. And so trying to create that same feeling in other places of my life has been a goal since I really realized that that's what was happening. So I haven't necessarily figured out, I haven't gotten there yet in every mm-hmm. aspect, but I think that is kind of my focus or intention of, mm-hmm. okay, that whatever I took to get that shift, I want to create in other parts of my life.
Okay, that's a great point. So if you want to take that focus and put it in other parts of your life, that's exactly what this exercise is doing. So your focus is ease, or my focus is whatever, okay? What is a new healthy habit? Think so simple. What is a new healthy habit you could start doing in your life that creates ease or puts the focus on ease?
Literally drinking more water.
Okay, perfect. That's how simple it should be, guys. Like so okay. simple. Drinking more water. Okay, so the next thing we're going to do is set up a cue. What is something that's going to signal that you should practice that habit more frequently or daily or whatever?
My thirst, my headaches, my water bottle.
Okay, so this might be like, just as an example, every time I walk into my kitchen, before I do anything else, I have to drink a cup of water. Or it could be every time I go to the bathroom, I refill my water. Or I set an alarm at 10 a.m. and if I haven't had two cups of water, I stop and do that immediately. Your cue can be anything, but like that's just an example. So for mine, so I mentioned my focus is mindfulness. My new habit is I want to take time every day to assess how I feel. Because I am very good at working and ignoring my mm-hmm. feelings and like pushing through them. So yeah. instead of doing that, I want to take times to like, am I stressed? Am I angry? Am I anxious? What are the feelings I'm having?
Are you hungry?
Exactly. Like actually spend time assessing this. So I have a daily reminder set and my app that I actually use to track my cycle has a very basic, like you can basically put in certain emotions and it's yeah. already there and it's super simple, but I've never used that function. But I thought that would be the simplest version of me assessing it, that I have to take 2 seconds to hit that I'm stressed out and I have cramps, you know, or I have a headache. That kind of thing. The app that I use, in case you're curious, is Flow, F-L-O.
I use okay. the app Clue, and it does very similar feature.
Yeah.
I think they're both free.
Yeah. So with that being said, your focus is ease. The healthy habit you want to create is drink more water. Your cue is pick one.
Yeah, I think going into the kitchen. Anytime I go into the kitchen, it's drinking a cup of water.
Okay, perfect. So the next is to identify what the reward is. Because even if, Like, this isn't like, if I drink 6 cups of water, I'm going to go get pizza. That's not what this is. Okay. The reward is, what are the benefits of that habit that you can recognize so that you can feel really good about making this a habit, right? So
more energy, clear skin.
Yes.
Less snacking.
Perfect. Perfect. That's exactly what you should be doing. So mine were respecting how I feel and not always trying to push through those hard moments, but give myself time to feel and time to like live into my emotions. But that's how simple it is. So my suggestion for y'all listening is that you go through this exercise, again, picking habits that are truly self-serving, because it's very good to try to make it about everyone else and everything else. And can it be something that just fuels you? My suggestion is you come up with 3 focus areas, 3 new healthy habits, 3 cues that help you implement those habits, and recognize what the reward is for each of them.
3.
And write it down. Write it down. So she had us do like a whole contract with ourselves, which feels a little goofy to me, but she did suggest that we have someone we follow up with about it. So if you have a spouse or partner or mom, or I mean anyone, someone you're close to, could you tell them, hey, these are 3 new healthy habits I'm wanting to implement. I'm going to try doing them every day or 3 times a week or whatever. I'll check in with you next week about it. If I don't, you need to ask me about it. Just giving yourself a bit of accountability around it. But these are not things that are going to like dramatically shift your life. Like, I'm going to like start dieting and change my entire how I eat everything. I'm going to exercise every single day. I'm going to like, these are things that should take you seconds or just allow you to think more deeply or be more in alignment with your intention, right? Because that's all what we talked about in the beginning, is like, this should help you, and for me, be more free. For Emily, create more ease. If it doesn't do those things, then they shouldn't be things you're focused on.
Yeah. I think another one of mine, just because I want to share, is to make my bed every morning.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And then I didn't.
Well, what's the reward?
It makes me feel light, easy, simple, clean.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, there's no cluttering up the intuition lines.
Yeah. So one of my focuses is nutrition, and the healthy habit I want to create is limit after dinner snacks to just one. Because I
love after dinner snacks.
Dude, I could eat 90% of my calories between 7 and 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
So, but I know and recognize that the behaviors I have around that aren't great. But instead of saying, I'm not going to eat snacks after dinner, I'm saying, I'm going to have one.
Yeah.
And I get to pick which one, and I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be okay. But for me, the reward is just to continue to see progress on my weight loss journey. Like, but keep in mind, like, I've already done a lot of work around this. So this is just like a small tweak to something I'm already doing.
Yeah.
Do you have a third one, Emily?
I didn't want to make it about working out necessarily, because I feel like that's too big of a thing. Mm-hmm. I had one and then I forgot it. Okay. Drinking water, making bed. I don't know. I feel like what I want to do, and I don't know if this would be the right way of going about it, but I'm trying to pick something that is self-serving for me, but it's about someone else. And so I don't necessarily think that that's going to work. But so I'll just give my example and see if it'll work. So Brian has been wanting to like cook more dinner and like saying he wants to be a part of it, but he gets home easily 30, 45 minutes after I do. And so it's literally just easier for me to start it, because then it's ready when he gets home and Penny's already hungry and yada, yada. But it would also be great for me to not have to do it and think about it or worry about it. And what if I'm spending that 30 or 45 minutes like reading a book instead of cooking dinner? So I think it's the about me part is like literally just not cooking the dinner, because he will. So I just have to not do it. But I don't know if that's it. Like, can I have a not do something on my list?
I mean, I think so, because I mean, I said limit after dinner snacks, and that's not snacking. So
right.
I think you can. I
don't think also limit cooking dinner.
And there's not rules around this. And if yeah. is there something with that that would allow you to feel more free in doing right. that, or feel more ease in doing that? Like, is it that he meal preps a bit, like on the weekend, and so he has less things he has to do when he comes home to help you? Or even if it's just, you know what he's making, like that's right. it, you know,
right.
then you're like, oh, this will take 20 minutes. I'm good. Yeah. yeah. So yeah. my third one was around relationships. I've always struggled to make new friends. And I think that has been completely self- I've decided that about myself, and that's not actually true.
That you're not good at making friends. Yeah. I have, so in the past like 6 or 8 months, I've kind of gone through this journey with my best friend about stories that I've told myself about myself, and mm-hmm. having her help me unpack which ones of those are true or which ones are just me saying, this has always been who I've thought I've been, so it must be who I am. And that is one of them, a huge one, not to like overshadow your story, but it goes along with this, I think, because I have had a similar goal of making not necessarily more friends as in quantity, but like I need more than one. And so yeah. like having a couple that are just high quality around me. But a story that I've told myself literally forever is that I don't make a good first impression because I'm not a nice person. And so, and I joke often, even on this podcast, about how I'm not a nice person. And I was unpacking it with Amanda, and she was like, I need you to stop telling yourself that you're not a nice person. Cause she was like, you are literally one of the kindest people that I know. And I was like, wait, what? And so, like, unpacking that with her, I was like, holy shit, I am nice. And like, it may be in unique circumstances or it's a different version, but I'm not not. Yeah.
No, it's not that you're not nice. I think it's that you're blunt and you say how you feel, and like that can come off as abrasive, but it's not actually you being abrasive. It's you just telling people what you think they need to know. And not everyone will resonate with that. But my first impression of you, I thought you were gorgeous. Like that was honestly my first impression of you. I thought you were so beautiful. And because I thought that, I thought there was no way you would ever like me. Which clearly, whatever. We went on to build a business and do some things and whatever. But along those same lines, my habit is not necessarily to make new friends, but to create deeper connected friendships.
Yeah.
And so my cue to do that is when I think of someone throughout my day, to actually stop and tell them and tell them why. And like, and I still struggle with it. Like this morning, I was laying in bed. It was super early in the morning. My friend recently lost her job. And we, the other day, like quite literally sat down for 4 hours and brainstormed all the things she needs to be doing. But I'm sitting there laying in bed thinking like, what has she been working on? What are all the things? Like, how's it going? But like, I didn't freaking tell her, you know, like, so it doesn't matter if it's 5 a.m., if it's someone you're really close to, like they'll respond when they're ready to respond. But trying to listen to those sorts of things and say that. But again, this is my thing. It doesn't have to be your thing.
Right.
But my reward is simply that I have more people to live my life with. And like, that feels so good to me. So if you need some ways to support this newfound intention that perhaps was always bubbling under the surface and you've been ignoring it, because that's how I felt about mine. And I'm sure how Emily feels about hers. This is what Oprah says we're supposed to do. So okay. I'm just telling you, if you're losing steam because the finish line feels too far away, break your goals into smaller parts. I could have told you that.
Sexy chunk.
But that's really what it all comes down to. If that focus is too big, if that habit is too big, whatever, like make it smaller because you can build things that create impact. See, Oprah always tells us the things we need to know. So we both just said we want to stop doing something. If you're trying to stop doing something, focus on what you will do instead.
Read a book.
You're more likely to change a habit if you have a new one ready to put in its place. So instead of focusing on not making dinner. Perhaps your new focus is every night, 30 minutes before Brian gets home, I'm going to read.
Yeah.
Then you just, by happenstance, don't make dinner.
Yeah.
For me, similarly, I'll probably fill my void with reading. I want to read more. Mm-hmm. And instead, I sit in front of a TV and eat things, and I don't really pay attention to the TV anyway, and I'm just on my phone, and then I'm up later.
We haven't had the TV on all week this evening, and even going into last week, I just wasn't feeling well. And so we've been, like, now that I'm feeling a little bit better, we're like picking up the house and doing some more projects or whatever. And so the TV hasn't been on in, I think, over a week, and it feels really good.
I just found out Chip and Joanna Gaines don't have a TV in their house, and they haven't since they've been married.
Yeah. We don't have a TV in our bedroom. I definitely, like, I love television. I'm not one of those people like, you know, I love watching shows and movies and docs. Like, I'm not about the life of not having a TV. But especially once we had a kid, we were very firm on, like, the TV is not on just to be on. And she only watches a show when she's getting her hair done. And so, and that's on the weekends. And so the TV is not on during the week at all, ever. So
yeah,
I feel like we've created healthy habits around it.
Yeah. So if you're not sure you can do it, think of challenges you've overcome in the past. Remind yourself of what you've learned and what helped you succeed. What personal strengths can you lean on? I think so much we forget all the things we've done. And like Emily was illustrating before, when you tell yourself a lie for long enough, even if you have evidence that it's untrue, the lie feels more true.
Yeah.
And so I think if you can unpack that, you can move along. If you feel alone in your goal, you need to ask for help. You need to share your goal. You need to invite someone to join you on this journey. You need to surround yourself with people that are supportive rather than destructive. I've definitely been around the people that don't care. And that sucks. So
yeah,
this one has been really true for me on my own personal health journey. If your motivation is dropping off, find new ways to bring new life into your journey. For me, that meant non-food rewards.
Yeah.
So like when I hit a certain thing, I get a new outfit. Or when I do this, I get a massage. Or I definitely have gamified doing things in a row. Like, I just want to keep doing more because I did it for 20 days in a row. So if I don't do it tomorrow, then I have to start over, and that sucks. So I'm going to do it today because I want to do it for 21 days.
Yeah.
Make it a game. If you're starting and stopping, assess what's making it hard to practice your habit and remove the difficulty. If it requires travel, can you do it from home? If you lack encouragement, can you find someone to do it with you? This is so ironic that this came up because I was actually listening to a podcast this morning with Dr. Leaf and, oh gosh, her name's on the tip of my tongue, Gretchen Rubin. There we go. And they were talking about how to create new habits, actually. And they mentioned that one of the easiest things you can do is reduce difficulty. Like, to create, make it easier for yourself. So they mentioned if your goal is to work out more and you have two choices between a gym that's across the street or a gym that's a 10-minute drive away, even if the gym that's across the street costs three times as much, it's probably worth it for you to join the gym that's across the street.
Well, and like, if your hang up is time, if your hang up is money, then drive further to the other gym.
Yeah. You have to figure out what's going to make it easier. But like, it could be as simple as, I know for me, when I was really trying to change what I was eating every day, the biggest thing for me was like making it easier to eat the things that were healthier. So prepping grilled chicken or making quinoa or literally chopping the vegetables and putting them in baggies so you can just grab them instead of like, oh, I have to wash it and cut it and blah, blah, blah. You know, do it before you're ready. And if your commitment gets hazy, remind yourself of your intention. Go and reflect on basically everything we talked about today.
Yeah.
And now, while I'm not Oprah and you can't quite put that sort of experience in a box or a podcast, I hope that it brought some new thoughts to your life and some newfound, like maybe things you already knew, but you hadn't really thought about it in that way before. Cause it did for me. And if you want to dive deeper, you can probably find some of her talks and some of the things she's saying around this by searching the hashtag on Instagram, Oprah's 2020 Vision Tour. Hope that helps. Have a great rest of your week, guys.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our creative template shop membership. With thousands of easy-to-customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics, we make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode, send it to a friend who needs to hear it, and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind the scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love the show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.